Now, hey, listen, before we get into the word, I did something different today. Pastor Joey brought a message about faith last week called Great Faith. Yeah, talking about people of great faith, being remembered for your great faith. And you know what's funny is that I was last week, I wasn't here. I was on the catwalks in the main sanctuary sweating my poor self to death because of Man Day. I was up there with our technical crew doing the lights and stuff like that. So Pastor Luke missed out on shift because I was like nasty. It was gross. I was like sweating through all of my stuff, and I wasn't going to come and hug on y'all like that. So I wasn't going to do that. But you know, interesting enough is God put something on my heart to talk about faith. And Pastor Joey brought a faith message this week or last week. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the month of October. I know. Wait a minute, Pastor Luke. This is September. We're going to take the month of October, and we're going to get into the Word of God, and we're going to teach you, not preach you, teach you faith, about faith. Now, there's a difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching is one of those hooting and hollering messages when Pastor Joey starts to rhyme, and he starts to do that like, and I said, and he does that little ha thing after. That's preaching, okay? We're going to teach you faith the next couple of months, or next couple of weeks through the month of October. Why? Because you need to know faith. Here's the bottom line, young adults. If somebody doesn't teach you faith, what faith is, how faith comes, all the different parts and aspects of faith, how are you going to learn how to live a life of faith? Who's going to tell you how to believe for your healing? Who's going to tell you how to believe for the salvation of your family members? Who's going to help you? How are you going to get through life when hard times come if somebody doesn't teach you about faith? And we're going to talk about that. The Bible says, how will they know if they don't have a teacher? We're going to talk about that. So I want to encourage you. You need to come out next week for the start of our official faith series. We're going to talk about that. We're going to get you involved in it. What I've done before we even start is I've started something because I want you to take this home. I care about you. So what I did today is I printed out some, like, fill-in-the-blanks, some prefabricated notes so that you could write these down and you could put them in your Bible this week and think about them. You can answer. I have some questions as I'm preaching the Word of God tonight that you can fill it out, you know. And so if you're interested in really getting something out of the Word of the Lord, I got these for you. We even have pencils for you. Next week, bring your own pen. But if you want this, just I'll pass one out to Antonio. And Mike, you're my honorary usher right now since you're my man in my crosshairs. If you want one, raise your hands. They'll pass one out to you. You can fill it out. You can write it. Hey, give me one so I know what we're talking about. So if you want one of those to follow along, keep it in your keep. You know, what I encourage you to do is take this one, and I'm going to do this next week. We're going to do this all through October. Why? Because it's so important to me that you know faith that I'm going to even supply you with the notes. I'm going to make you think about it. I'm going to give you homework assignments on verses to memorize and to study. Why? Because faith, without faith in your life, without faith in your belief system, what are you doing as a Christian? You're coming to church once a week, twice a week, and you're listening to some guy talk, and that's just, dude, that's not where it's at, man, all right? Listen, you don't want to come to hear me talk. You don't want to come to hear Pastor Joey rhyme and do his, He's like, I don't do that. We should record him when he does it. That way, anyway. You don't want to come to hear me. You don't want to come to hear a guy. You want to come to get the Word of God in you. So listen. Don't take these. Oh my goodness. I don't want to see after service you leaving the notes right there on the table. I didn't print them out so you could draw snowmen and little stick figures on the back and you could doodle. That's not what we're here for, guys. I want you to get this in your system. All right, so listen, you need to get out of here. You need to get here. Don't miss the month of October. Don't miss this. I'm going to provide you with the notes. Put them in your Bible, staple them together, laminate them, stick them up on your fridge, whatever you got to do, because you need to get faith in you. Amen? So listen, while they're doing that now, let's start today's word. I'm going to go before the Lord in prayer. Would you join me? Would you stand as we go before the Lord in prayer, if you're able to stand? This is a sign of our honor and reverence to God. Father God, we come into this place today, Lord, and we're just grateful for the opportunity that we have to come into the house of the Lord. Lord, I'm grateful that I get to come on Friday nights and be with young adults, people my age, people going through things that I'm going through, people living through things that I'm living through, Father, that we could be together, like-minded, like your word says, Father, studying and listening and hearing the word of God. Father, I thank you that today's word would be a seed sown on good ground. Father, I thank you that we would take what we hear today, apply it to our lives, apply it to our walks with you, Lord, that we would be strengthened, encouraged. Father, that we would be built up. Father, that we could go out and do what you've called us to do, be who you have called us to be, and live how you have called us to live. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so the title of today's message, it's not even a fill in the blank. I already gave that to you. I should have left you a blank page and then said, this is a fill in the blank. All right. You guys are like, Pastor Luke, I don't get it. Never mind. The title of tonight's message is The Heart of Faith. Before we even get into teaching about faith, I got to talk to you about the heart of faith. Why? Because inside of your heart, we're going to talk about the heart matters. I mean, I can't tell you. I have talked so much about the heart. The Lord has put, if anything in my life, if there's been anything in my life, a burden or a fire or what you could call a desire to learn more about, it's the things of the heart. Why? Because even going back to the Old Testament, going back to the days of the old school, the Lord talks about the heart. The psalmist David, King David, the Lord talks to us about his heart. The Bible refers to him as a man after God's own heart. God looks at our hearts. I've talked to you about this. We talked about our prayers. God doesn't listen to the words of your mouth. He listens to the prayers of your heart. It's about the inside. It's about the inner man. It's about the soul of a man that God looks at. And hopefully you get this in your system, that because of the inner workings of the man, because of the heart, what you got in your heart, hopefully you get this part, is what will determine how you are on the outside. Therefore, does God look on the outside? Yes. Why? Because you act from the inside. So you are a mirror image, a reflection of what's on the inside of you. So before we even teach about faith, before we talk about Hebrews in the 11th chapter, before we talk about Hebrews in the 10th chapter, we're going to talk about this verse a couple times this month. Before we talk about Mark in the 11th chapter, we got to talk about the heart, because if you can't go before the Lord with a heart of faith, then it doesn't do you any good to learn about the steps of faith, about the foundations of faith, about the building blocks and the cornerstone of faith. Why? Because if your heart's jacked up, all you're doing is taking notes and you're trying to apply somebody's notes to your life. But when your heart is in tune with God and when you are aligned with God on the inside, then all of a sudden the notes, the teachings, the preachings become more than just the words of some guy. The words that you read out of the Bible become more than just some words out of a book. But now all of a sudden they become life, like the Bible says, and you apply them and you begin to see that things actually start happening. And that's why today, before we can even talk about faith, Pastor Joey brought a great message last week about great faith. But before we can talk about learning about faith, we got to look at the heart. So I'm talking to you about the heart of faith. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark in the 11th chapter. Book of Mark in the 11th chapter. I talked about this on Sunday. Was anybody here for Sunday night's message when I was talking? Look at you. All right, Nizzle, I saw Sean, some of you over there, Michael. Cool, most of you weren't. Great, well, guess what? You don't get to hear it again. No, I'm not preaching Sunday night's message, but I am using this verse. I use this verse on Sunday. This is a great verse. Here Jesus Christ is doing a little bit. Pastor Debbie, she used it on Sunday morning too. How many of you guys are here on Sunday morning? Anybody here on Sunday morning? Look at see. So Pastor Debbie used this verse too. Jesus is doing a little bit of show and tell. He comes up to a fig tree. There's no fruit on the fig tree. Well, guess what? It's not even seasons for figs. But Jesus comes up to the fig tree and he says, there's no fruit on this tree. So he curses the tree. Disciples make their go about, they make their round, they come back the next day. And all of a sudden this tree is withered up and dead. And the disciples are like, oh my gosh, OMG, Jesus, how'd you do that? The tree's dead. And he begins to talk to them about faith, faith in action. And in Mark, the 11th chapter, we're going to talk about this in further detail later on. But listen to what Jesus says in Mark, the 11th chapter, in verse number 23. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Verse number 23. For assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not, listen to this, and does not doubt in his head. Thank you, Michael. And does not doubt in his head. All right, you're kind of getting it. You're kind of going with it. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus is talking about it. He doesn't talk about believe in his head.
We think, we believe, we think, you know, our knowledge, our intellect comes from our head, from our mind, right? So why does Jesus say, if he says these things and he believes them in his head, that they'll come past? He doesn't say that. He says, if he believes them in his heart, the innermost working of you and I, the heart. We're not talking about that muscle that pumps some 60 times a minute, that beats, you know, pumps your blood. We're not talking about the physical heart. We're talking about the soul of a man, the inside of a man. And Jesus Christ says, listen, if you've got faith and you believe it in your heart, the inside, the man of man on the inside of you, you believe what you say, you can have it according to the will of God. And we'll talk more about that when we get into faith. He talks about the heart, the condition of the heart. If you got your Bibles, turn with me a couple pages over to James in the first chapter. James in the first chapter. Come with me. Come on, you got your Bibles? You got your iPhones? You should bring a Bible. I'll tell you, the Bible's a lot better than an iPhone. It's easier to find things and you can write notes in your Bibles. James in the first chapter. James in the first chapter, if you've ever come to Pastor Luke and asked Pastor Luke, Pastor Luke, oh my goodness, I don't know about what I'm supposed to do with my school. Oh my goodness, listen, you girls, Pastor Luke, I don't know what I'm supposed to say about this boy. You come and ask me, if you use the words, Pastor Luke, I don't know, I will quote you this verse. Man, you pretty much everybody, you're like, Pastor Luke, yeah, man, every time I go up there, he says this verse to me, every time. Because this is the way the word works. Jesus Christ taught us about believing in our heart. Listen what James, one of his disciples, says to him. The half-brother of Jesus says. And James in the first chapter, verse number 5, this is the verse I'll tell you. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, it's not on the overhead because I want you to bring your Bible. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, now I've got this on the screen for you. Verse number 6, listen to this. Let him ask in what? Faith. With no, what? Doubting. For he who, what? Doubts is like a, what? Wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse number 7. For not let that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, Jesus Christ, when he was talking to his disciples, says, if you say something with faith and you believe it in your inside, in the man of man, in your heart, if you believe that it can, that it's true and it's real, then it will come to pass. James says, when you go before the Lord and you ask him for something, you ask him in faith, because if you doubt it in your head, you doubt it in your heart, guess what's gonna happen? Nothing! Because you're a double-minded man. The Bible says, unstable in all your ways. So we got to talk about the heart. We got to talk about solidifying the foundations on what we believe, about getting inside the inner man, about getting into you and I, into our heads, into our hearts, transforming what we see, what we believe, and starting to align ourselves with the Word of God so that we have a heart of faith. So today I want to talk to you three things the Lord's given me about a receptive heart. A receptive heart means this, an open heart. When you receive something, when you are receptive, let me tell you when you are receptive. On December 25th at 7 o'clock in the morning, when you roll up at your parents' house and you got that big old present and it's got the bow, let me tell you something. You are receptive. What does receptive mean? You are ready to receive, right? You're ready for it. You're ready for the gift. A receptive heart means this, that you are open to receiving from God, that you are open to hearing from God. So I want to talk to you about the subject of a receptive heart. On your fill in the blank notes, it says a receptive heart, and then it's got a little semicolon and then the number 1, and underneath that is a line. Guess what? All you got to do is fill in what the point is and then live it. All right. You guys with me tonight? Are we all right? It's quiet. I know it's an intimate night, but are you here with me? Are we okay? Are we all right? You like me? Are you all right? Okay, cool. You like my shirt? Good. Anyways. You're like, Pastor Luke, what? Don't worry about it. A receptive heart. Three things the Lord's given me tonight talking about the heart of faith. A receptive heart. Number 1, trust God at all costs. Trust God at all costs. You want to have a receptive heart? You want to have an open heart? You got to put your trust in God. Here's the problem that we have. Here's the problem that we have. Americans, Westerners, as Muslims would call us. I'm not talking Muslim. I'm not talking Islam. Americans, us in the Western society, guess what we are called? We are called skeptics. How do you know that you're a skeptic? Here's how you know you're a skeptic. When you're walking into the store and a guy comes up to you and his clothes are a little bit on the raggedy side, and he walks up to you and you don't know who he is, but you already know what he's going to say, right? What's he going to say? Can I have some spare change? I heard it over here. Some of you are like, Pastor Luke, I never had it. Oh, well, it'll come. It will come. When you're at the gas station and you're pumping your gas, minding your own business, and all of a sudden you see somebody walk in your direction, what do you start preparing yourself for to say?
I only carry plastic, man. I'm sorry, man. I don't got no change, man. I'm sorry, man.
You're skeptic. You don't trust no one. You don't trust God. Why don't you trust God? Because there's been people out there that have said this, and there's been people out there that have said that. That's great. You don't trust people. You trust God. And what's happened over the years, what's happened over centuries, is that man has taught it a part of themselves to make religion. Listen, I'm not talking to you about religion. I'm talking to you about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Man has made it a part of their religion to sit in a service just like you're doing. And I'm not saying down this, preaching down on this. You need to be in church. But they've made it a part of their religion. They've made it a part of their ceremonial rituals to come and listen to a man say that God says, and then they say, that's what I say. But in reality, you and I need to hear the word of God, we need to write the notes down, and then we need to go on our own time and study what is the word of God said. That's why I give you scriptures. That's why I put it up on the screen. That's why I gave you notes, because you don't know. Hey, listen, what if one day I go wacko? And I start preaching to you all sorts of weirdo doctrine. And we go out there and I say, you got to drink some grape juice over here. And you got to do this. And you don't know what man has seen. We're fickle. But God's not. And what's happened is we've replaced our trust in God with trust in men. And we look at a man. We look at a preacher. We look at the car he drives. We look at what he says, what he does. We look at all the different things about him, how he shaves, what he dresses like. And we say, well, I either trust him or I don't. But the bottom line is, guys, it's not about me. It's not about Pastor Joe. It's not even about Pastor Jim. It's about you and God. And when you trust in God, when you believe what God says about what your situation holds, what does God say about my situation? Guess what, guys? You got to make the initiative to go out there and see what God says through the Word of God. Not what Google says, not what somebody says on their blog. You can read that, but test the scriptures on your own to know that God is faithful. Because otherwise, you're just being led astray by somebody. You've got to trust God at all costs. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, this is a verse that we all know, we all love. You say, Pastor Luke, I don't know it. Good, that's fine. I think it's on your little thingamajigger, right? What does it say? It says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does all your heart mean? Okay, wait. What does all your heart mean? All your heart, right? Not some of your heart. Not the little corner down here, the little part where the two little bumps on top come and make a V. Not the little bottom part. Not with the left lobe. Not with the right. No, all of your heart. Trust in the Lord. And all, but listen, he doesn't finish that. He doesn't just say it right there. What does he say? And lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because your understanding might say about what the Bible says, this doesn't make sense. Skeptic. You're a natural skeptic. That's just the way we are. We're skeptical people. But when we're skeptical, then all of a sudden we shortchange our faith. We shortchange what God's plan is for our life. And now all of a sudden we wonder, why isn't God doing anything in my life? When in my heart, I don't trust him. I don't believe him. The Bible says I could be healed. I don't know. I mean, this guy over here has the same thing. And this guy over here did the same thing. And they didn't get healed. Well, I don't know. Maybe God can heal me. And then all of a sudden, guess what happens? You're leaning on your own understanding because you're using your eyes, you're using your experiences, you're using what somebody says around you or somebody says to you to base your faith off of instead of what the Bible says. And a receptive heart trusts God at all costs. Let me show you something in the Word of God. In Hebrews in the third chapter, how many of you guys got your Bibles? You got your Bibles? Go with me to Hebrews in the third chapter. Who got your Bible? Hold your Bible up. Let me see your word. Your sword. Look at you. I don't hear any of your pages turning. I'm just saying. I don't know if you're like, you know, like when you're in the bathroom and you don't want nobody to know you're in there, if you're turning the pages like, listen, man, I want to hear that, like rip that page, you know, let me hear it go, wah! And don't rip the pages out, though. You want to keep them in there so you can read, because if you don't have pages in your Bible, how are you going to have faith? Hebrews in the third chapter, listen to this. Hebrews in the third chapter, verse number 15, I'm going to say this. Hebrews 3:15, 15's not up there, it's okay. I'm going to read you the last part of verse number 15. It says it three different times in this verse. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Okay, that's the last part of verse number 15. Now look what verse number 16 says. This is the writer of Hebrews talking about the people of Israel, the children of Israel, as they were coming out of Egypt. You remember Moses and Joseph? Let my people go. Remember that? All right, okay. So now they're going and they're out and they're experiencing God. Listen to what he says. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says in the third verse, or the 16th verse of the third chapter, Hebrews 3:16. Hebrews 3:16. It says, I gotta find it in my Bible. For who having heard rebelled? He's asking you a question. For who having heard the word of God rebelled? Who? He answers the question. Indeed. Was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Okay. Now with whom was he angry with for 40 years? He's asking you another question. Who rebelled against God? The people of Israel. Who was God angry with for 40 years?
People of Israel.
Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? He answers the question again. But to those who did not obey. So we see. He says, listen, because of the past experiences, so we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. He says, listen, these people heard the word of God and they didn't believe. They saw the word of God and they were lived in sin. They did what they heard what God said and they did not follow it. And God swore to them, you would not make it into the promised land because of their unbelief. You and I, church, have got to get ourselves in a place where we don't listen to a man. We don't listen to somebody on the TV. We don't listen to that dude with a really soft voice on 107.9. But rather, we listen to God and the Word of God. And what the Word of God says to you and I, what the Word of God says about our situation, we take it at face value. What does that mean? It means we believe it, and I don't care what anything else says. I don't care what an atheist says. I don't care what a Democrat says, a Republican says, a libertarian says, a Muslim says. I don't care what the Hindus say. What the Word of God says is what I will believe and what I trust. And a receptive heart trusts God. When you trust God, guess what? Your heart is open. When you've got faith, you say, God, I'm ready. God, whenever you're ready, come on, pull it on. A receptive heart trusts God at all costs. Number two tonight, are you still with me? Are you still here? Are we all right? You're like, man, Pastor Luke, I wish I would have gone out there and watched that movie over there. No, you didn't. You glad you're here. Number two, a receptive heart keeps watch. A receptive heart keeps watch. We talked about this before. I talked about this just a couple weeks ago in August when I was talking about the Word of God. A receptive heart guards what you put in, because what you put in is what you get out. What you feed yourself, what you feed your inner man is what your outer man will become. Let me say it like this. You feed your inner man with TMZ. You feed your man with Inquirer, with Star, with Jersey Shore, with anything like that. Is that what it's called? Isn't that a TV show? I've never seen it before, but I know that everybody's with. When you feed yourself with what society has. Listen, man, let me tell you something. I was watching this show the other day called The X Factor. Now, I am not clueless. I watch TV. But I remember Simon Cowell, he let this guy in. That I was just sitting there as I was watching and just like, are you kidding me? And he was like, I like you. I think people would like you. I'm like, dude, apparently, clearly, I am not on the mainstream, because I was like, ah, this guy's terrible. It wasn't just about his voice. It was about his persona. When you let that stuff influence you, guess what? That's what you become. And now all of a sudden, you're living mainstream. Let me tell you something. I don't want to live mainstream. I want to live what God says. It's easy to live mainstream. We talked about that at the man day. It takes a real man
for you girls, you're like, well, I'm not a real man. Good. It takes a real woman to follow God. But a receptive heart keeps watch. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse number 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. It means you got to do something about this. It doesn't mean just keep your heart, you know, just trickle watch it, you know. Diligence means diligence. Diligence means you follow through with it. Let me tell you something. I got a problem with follow through. It means I got an idea. I spit ideas out all day long. And then I get about 60% of the way through the idea, and then I'm on to the next idea. And I got all these projects at home. I got all these things going on at home where you've seen it. You've been into somebody's house where they painted half the wall. And you're like, dude, you know, I was painting it, and I got sidetracked. I'm going to get to it. Oh, when did you paint that? Oh, 3 years ago. Oh. Diligence. Diligence says you're going to finish the wall when you start painting it. Diligence says when you start mowing the lawn, guys, you're going to finish mowing the lawn. Diligence says when your boss assigns you something, you're going to finish what your boss assigns you with. We understand that. But now let's talk about keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence means doesn't mean let this in, but not let that in. It means you guard your heart. You set up watch. You put up a guard with the AK-47. Forget the AK-47. You set up a guard in front of your heart with a rocket launcher. And when something tries to come at your heart, when something tries to penetrate the inner man to say, no, your faith is going to be like this. Your guard's ready to go. Why? Because. Why? Because. Out of it spring the issues of life. Because out of your heart comes the issues of life. The Bible says, Jesus says that you, where your heart is, that's where your treasure lies. And when you feed it with TMZ, guess what? You're going to sound like TMZ at the water cooler. Oh my gosh, did you see what happened with Nick Lachey and Jessica? They're not even together anymore. See, that's the last time I read TMZ. That was like 10 years ago. I don't even know who's popular anymore. But that's what you're going to do. You're going to follow that stuff, and that's when you put in, that's what you're going to get out of it. A receptive heart keeps watch. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. I'm going to take you somewhere. Go with me to the book of Luke in the 8th chapter. I got you going to verses. That's why I gave you the notes so you could turn in your Bible. Go with me to Luke in the 8th chapter. I'm going to freak you out a little bit right here. Jesus is telling a story. Jesus is telling a story. It's called a parable. He's using this as an example. Luke the 8th chapter. Luke the 8th chapter, verse number 5, Jesus is telling a story. Luke the 8th chapter, verse number 5, Jesus is telling a story, and he says, a sower went out to sow his seed. A farmer went out to plant his seed, okay? And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. There was no dirt. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and they choked it. And you know, you've seen that. A weed came up, and it drowned it out. Verse number 8, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. Now, when he had said these things, he cried. Listen, Jesus didn't just tell a story and say, okay, did you get it? And everybody's like, oh, yes, Jesus, I got it. Yes. Jesus cried out after this, and he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He wanted your attention. And now the disciples say, Pastor Jesus, disciples say, Jesus, what does this mean? What does this story that you just told us mean? Jesus begins to explain it. This is where I want to show you. Verse number 11, skip down. Verse number 11 says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, what you put in your heart. Listen to this. Those that fell by the wayside, listen to this, guys, are the ones who hear. Listen to this. Are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Guard your heart. The devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Don't you know that there's an assignment after you? Don't you know that the devil, through his devices, through society, through tolerance, is going to come and try to steal the word out of your heart so that you don't believe the word of God and you lose salvation. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get this into your system today, that a receptive heart guards it, watches the device that come and try to rob your salvation, rob your faith, rob your belief. Verse number 13, but the ones by the rock are those, when they hear, they receive the word of God with joy. Yay! But they have no root, who believe for a while, and in times of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and they are choked with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity.
Listen to this, but verse number 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Jesus says, listen, when you hear the word of God and you guard what comes in, when you guard your heart, when you guard the stories, and when you guard what comes in, what you allow into your heart, and you keep it, you have a good and noble heart. That's when the word of God drops into your heart, and now all of a sudden it becomes more than just words on a paper. It becomes more than words out of some guy who spits a lot up here. It becomes more than words out of his mouth. Now all of a sudden it drops in your heart and something happens, and it says he bears much fruit. But you have got to keep your heart. You have got to guard your heart. Now, I'm not telling you that you got to go out there and wipe all your preset radio stations out there, but you need to guard your heart.
Oh, but Pastor Luke, I just listen to the beats.
But Pastor Luke, I just love the way that Katy Perry, the rhythm, Lady Gaga, she makes me just want to go to, get. No, no, she doesn't. No, it doesn't. You don't just listen to the beats. You don't. Pastor Luke, listen, man, I know it's rated R, but I just tune out the F words. I just tune out that sex scene. I turn my eyes. You may the first time, guys, but the second, third, fourth time, you know you're cracking your finger. Why? Because what you put in is what you're going to get out. And I love you enough, I respect you enough to be honest, and I'm tough on you, because if I'm going to teach you faith, I got to tell you like it is first. And if you don't guard your heart and you don't guard what comes into your heart, let me tell you something. It's going to come like those weeds that came alongside, and it's going to choke you out. And you wonder why there's no fruit and maturity in your life. Because you got to guard what comes into your heart. You got to guard it. A receptive heart. Number three, you okay? Are we all right?
You're like, man, Pastor Luke, you're preaching at me today, man. Jeez.
Number three, a receptive heart. A receptive heart is a new heart. You get heart transplanted when you raise your hand and Pastor Luke does a little altar call at the end, or Pastor Joey, and you, I want to give my heart and love to Jesus. And you come up and we pray a prayer, and all of a sudden something's different in your life. You got a heart transplant. No longer are you who you once were. You say, but Pastor Luke, I feel exactly the same. Yeah. Because in the spirit, God is transforming you from the inside out. Remember I was saying that? The outside reflects the inside. You get a new heart. You get a new desire. You get new things for God. Let me tell you something. Let me be open and honest with you. Pastor Luke is going to be very transparent. There was a time in my life when I struggled with looking at things on the internet as a young man. I was talking to my wife about it the other day. We were talking about it. And I said, you know what? It's amazing to look back over the years of my life to now look back at what the actions that I did as a young man, and I can never figure out how to get out of it. God, help me out of it. God, help me out of it. God, I hate what I just did. But it wasn't until the moment that came when I brought it out, I gave it to God, when I had accountability for it with somebody else, that all of a sudden that heart transplant took effect, and I was talking to my wife about it. And I said, babe, it's amazing. I look back at my life and I say, golly, I don't have those twisted thoughts as a young man that I once had. I don't have those perverted ideas as a young man that I once had. Why? Because now from the inside, something is different. And I told my wife, we were just talking about change and what God has done and change in our lives over the years. And I was telling her, it's like somebody took the inner man, the inside of me, and the things that I hated about myself. And it's like somebody took them and removed them from me and put something else in. And now I don't struggle with those issues. I don't have those issues. But let me tell you something. As a man, I have guidelines. I still have rules. Because I have a heart transplant doesn't mean that my old self doesn't want to come back. But you have been given a new heart. A receptive heart is a new heart. A receptive heart says, you know what, maybe I was skeptical because one time when I was 8 years old, I saw a preacher. Or one time when I was 10 years old, I heard somebody say this about the word of God, and my parents told me that that was fake. One time I read about the Catholic Church, and I thought, where is God in that? And you got a skeptical heart. But let me tell you something. You let God work in your heart, not a man, but God. And let me tell you something. You give it to God. You give your worries to God. You give your problems. You give your disputes to God, your bitterness to God. And let me tell you something. God will take that heart and make it a new heart. He will take the inside of you and change it around. And now all of a sudden, like we talked about, trusting in God becomes first nature, not second nature, because you're not a skeptic. Now you're a believer. And when you have a new heart, when you have a new life, the psalmist says in Psalms 51, verse number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. We got to change who we are. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse number 17, says that when you are in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things, the old things have passed away and all things have become new. All things, your body, your mind, your spirit, your heart have become new in the things of God. And now all of a sudden you don't weigh them. Well, what are my friends going to think about this if I tell them about my faith? What is so-and-so going to say if I tell them about my faith? But now all of a sudden you think, what is God going to think about me when I tell them about my faith? What are they going to do? What is God going to say about my faith? What does the Word of God say about my faith? Are you here? Are you quiet? You're staring at me like at a cow at a new gate. But you've got to get this in you. Listen to what Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, says. This is the prophet Ezekiel prophesying about Israel. Remember, we talked about them turning their heart away from God. He's prophesying if they turn their hearts back towards God. He says, listen, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Don't think that you and I don't have idols today. Where's it at? This is probably most of yours in this place right here. You're addicted to it. I am. I was. I'm trying to get out of that now. I got to touch it. I got to push the button just to see. Did anybody text me? We don't serve, you know, carved images. But now we serve logos. It's another day. I will cleanse you from your filthiness and all your idols. I will give you, listen to this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and you will do them. With a new heart, he says, I will put my spirit within you and you will, and it will cause you to walk according to the ways of God. It will cause you to keep commandments of God. It's all about a clean heart. It's all about a new heart. It's all about not being who you once were. You know, there's a preacher, I'm not going to say much more about it. There's a preacher who's huge around the world, celebrity preacher. Says he's going to throw out some of the Gospels, throw out some of the New Testament, the teachings that say that if you're a Christian, you don't sin. And if you live in sin, you don't call yourself a Christian because you're not really. Because the fruit of your labor, the fruit of your life should reflect your belief. So one preacher goes out there and says, no, that doesn't apply anymore. God covers you and all your stuff. Let me tell you something. Right here, the Bible tells us that God will give you a heart. And when the heart of God comes upon you, you no longer are who you once were. You no longer do what you once did. You no longer act how you once did. Why? Because God is upon you. Is God more important than your actions? It's going to take effort on your part. We're going to talk about that in faith. The Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. So you can't just say, God, give me a new heart and expect, woohoo! And you know, all of a sudden you're going to be a new person. You got to do stuff about it too. But you can do it. You can do it. God is able. You are able through the power of God. You are able through the power of God. And let me conclude in this with the example of the heart. I remember, and this is where I got this message from. I used this example on Sunday night, talking about speaking. And I remember I went on a missions trip to Peru. Miss, did you go on that one? You went on that one too, right? Missy went on that one too. We were in Peru. I remember we were praying for people. We were in this crusades and we were going through the villages. We would go through the market towns before the marketplaces before we had a crusade at night. And they'd send us out and say, you go pray for people. You find somebody that looks all nasty and all like, you know, and you pray for people. I don't even speak Spanish, but they don't speak English. And so I had to learn how to speak Spanish. So we start speaking to the people. What's going on? They have cataracts. I don't know if you guys have ever seen somebody with a cataract. Their eyes are cloudy. They can't see the pupils, and there's growths on their eyes. They've got tumors out of their necks and out of their chins and out of their faces, out of their sides. They've got their backs. They're like, you know, they're crippled. And we go out there and we're praying, and I use this example on Sunday night, but I'm going to use the other end of it. Is that we were praying for people, and we'd see a person over here get healed, and we'd see a person over there get healed, and then the evangelist that lived in Peru, that worked with these people, said, you're not calling out what it is by name. You're not speaking to that cataract and saying, cataract, in the name of Jesus, you get out of that. You're just saying, oh, Lord, heal them. And he says, you need to speak to them, direct your faith at what it is, and direct your authority that Jesus has given you to what that issue is. Tumor, cancer, in the name of Jesus, get out. And we would pray that directly. And I'm telling you, I am not lying to you. I am not trying to falsify this. I'm not trying to put this up. Missy saw this stuff too. You put your hands over somebody's eye, you say, cataract, blindness, in the name of Jesus, go. And you pull your hand off and you'd look at their eye and it was brown or green. You'd be like, dude, I didn't see their eye. It was all cloudy. You'd see the tumors on their neck and you'd pray for them. And they'd pull their hands off and the tumors are gone. And we're like, oh my gosh, why doesn't this happen in America? Here's why. Because of people like you hear like Benny Hinn. You hear the healing crusades. And what is the first thing you think about when you see somebody go up on the stages and they you see them on the TV and the guy comes up with the crutches, you know? And then somebody like Benny Hinn or somebody like that heals and you see them, and they fall out and they're flopping on the ground and they get up and they start jumping around. Oh, that's fake. That's fake, man. That's fake. That guy got paid. That guy got paid. Oh, man, that's fake. I saw a reporter even say one time, yo, that guy came in and he was like, he drove up in a Mercedes. You're skeptical. You see, the people in Peru, they didn't know who Benny Hinn was. The people in Peru, they didn't know what happened 150 years ago. The people in Peru didn't know about whatever controversy about so-and-so who had an airplane, who had a church, who said this. They didn't know about that stuff. All they knew is that we came in the name of Jesus Christ. And when we asked them, do you believe that God can heal your eyes? Do you believe that God can heal your cancer? Do you believe that God can heal your tumor? They would look at us and say, yes. And without falsification, without looking at them and wondering, I wonder if they really believe. We knew they had nothing else to go by but the goodness of God. And they saw the person right there next to them in line get healed. And that was their faith. And when we'd ask them, do you believe that God could heal you? They would say, yes. Where is that in our lives, guys? Where is that in our hearts? Where is that in the church today in America? We're so skeptical of a man. We're so skeptical of what you see on TV. You know what? The bottom line is, forget that stuff. Forget that stuff. Where are you with God? Do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe that God can deliver you? Do you believe that God can come through? That's where you draw a line in the sand. And not say, well, I wonder, I believe, Pastor Luke, and you say this with your faith, but in your heart, you think, man, I don't know. What can God do with a sinner like me? And the Bible says you believe, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. Confess it, say it, believe it with your heart. Pastor Luke, you don't know what I've done in my life. Do you believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you? Even though you may be a murderer, a rapist, a terrorist, who knows what you are? They're in the Bible. They got saved too. The question is, in your heart, do you believe God? Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that God can? Because if in your heart you doubt, like Jesus said in Mark, the 11th chapter, without doubting in his heart, if you have doubt in your heart, like James in the first chapter, if you doubt it, guess what? You're missing. You're missing it. And that's why I'm tough on you. That's why I'm preaching at you. That's why I'm pushing it at you. Because there's 100 young adults in this place when there should be 300. But here's the bottom line is when you get it into your heart, people will see, Michael, God will come on your life. You'll see it. When you get it into your heart, Michael, God will get it in your life. Polo, God will get it. When you get it in your heart, when somebody asks you, do you believe? It'll come into your heart. You'll get it. That's it. That's where it's at. But before we even teach you the foundations of faith, that faith must be fed, faith must be allowed to be the leader, that the building blocks, the foundations of faith, before we even teach you that, if you have issues in your heart, you're missing it. You're missing it. That's why I'm giving you the notes. So that you could take this and not say, oh, what did you talk about last week? I don't remember. You can open up your Bible, read the notes and say, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. Now, I had time for discussion questions, but I'm going to go a different route. We'll do discussion questions next week when we talk about faith. Here's what I want to do. Some of you have had issues in your heart Maybe something happened to you as a kid. Maybe you saw something. Maybe you went through something. Let me tell you something. Issues in your heart. Pastor Luke, I had an issue in my heart.